It's nighttime, and the father hears his daughter calling out. And the father goes to her room, and she tells him that she's scared. And the father tells her, "There's nothing to be scared of. Go back to bed." The day unexpectedly comes, early when a father's son wants to have a girlfriend. The father has too much on his plate to be dealing with such trivial things and pretends as if he didn't hear of such happenings. The daughter hasn't been treated very nice at school by another girl in her class. And she comes home upset one day and with intentions, and she shares such intentions on being mean back, getting back to this other girl the next day. And her father, he fully supports such a response. Today we consider a father's counsel. And this, of course, can be applied to a mother's counsel as well, a mother as well. But daily, moment by moment, many different situations, no matter how light or how heavy they seem, parents have the opportunity to counsel their children, guide their children, teach their children as they go through life under their parents' authority. And these opportunities, they either can be missed, so they can pass right over you, they could be skipped intentionally, or they can be taken up, but when they're taken up, they could have, or there could be wrong counsel that is given, or parents can take the opportunity and counsel their child in a godly manner. Today, for Father's Day, set aside the book of Acts for this week, and we look at the book of Proverbs, where we consider the giving of such counsel and some specific counsels that should be given by fathers, by dads, by parents, as we consider the third father-son passage in the book of Proverbs. So we'll consider from this text the theme of parents are to give godly counsel to their children that will produce many blessings for them over a lifetime. Parents are to give godly counsel to their children that will produce many blessings for them over a lifetime. So I want to begin by looking at the first two verses that Pastor Wise just read for us, Proverbs 3, 1 through 2, and they will be our key verses. They kind of set the tone, or they set in a very general way what is coming. That's where we ultimately see this theme of. So if you look with me at the first two verses, the father, Solomon, he begins and he says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." So verses 1 and 2, they bring out the long-lasting nature of a father or a parent's counsel. Both in the counsels given, that is given, should be long-lasting. It should endure. It should continue. And then secondly, the results, the impact that such counsel should have. So the long-lasting nature of a father's counsel or a parent's counsel, it's found in verse 1, especially when the father says, if you look again at the very beginning of verse 1, the father says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." We find that a child, when they move out or they get married, cannot just throw away all of what their parents have taught them. As this teaching that's being commended in the book of Proverbs, it's being commended here specifically in Proverbs chapter 3, we find it is ultimately from and it is rooted in the Word of God. So these aren't just the parents or the father's words that he's kind of conjured up, he's come up with, but they're rooted in the Word of God. These are from God himself. So they can't just be thrown out. Specific applications of these counsels, of these teachings may just be for a child or for a teen, for the stage of life they're in, but we're going to see as we continue on and see the specific counsels later in the text that these are something that should last a lifetime. They should be followed for a lifetime. So, if our graduates are here this morning, or those who are going to be married in the months or maybe a couple years, or just moving out the next couple of years from your parents, along with your material belongings, such counsels, such teachings from your parents should be packed up with you and brought with you into the rest of your life, as we consider verse 1. And further, this not forgetting that we find in verse 1, not forgetting your parents' teaching, we shouldn't just think of it as a mental task. Okay, the father is not just asking his son, remember what I said in a commemorative way. Remember it, just in your mind, as a mental task. But here in verse 1, the call, when the father says, don't forget my teaching, the call is to continue to obey and live out the things your parents have taught you from the word of God. As it says further in verse 1, if you look ahead, it says, my son, do not forget my teaching. And then Solomon says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Children, if you have obeyed your parents to get them off your back, or because you knew it was the right thing, but you didn't really want to, you didn't see the benefit of it, you didn't ultimately follow because of God, then you probably will leave behind what your parents have taught you, the instruction they've given to you. As we see here, it's not just in actions that the father is talking about. It's not just conduct or giving lip service to our parents' teaching, but children, you are to follow your parents' commandments from the heart. From the heart, verse 1 says. Keeping it from the heart means that what your dad and what your mom taught you impacted your heart. It impacted what you believed. It impacted your views, who you are, so that you see the goodness. You see the rightness of what they have told you to do. So you do it, and you continue to do it. Obedience from the heart and obedience just in behavior are two different things. Two very different things. So parents, this should be instructive for us as we parent, as we call our children to do things, to help them understand why we're saying what we are saying, or why we're telling them to do what we're saying, why we are commanding them to do what we do. We should explain it. Explain the reason why this is to be done. As we think about it, parents, we think about this heart aspect. We want our children to follow from the heart. We should guide them through processing the positives, the negatives, if they do or they don't follow the guidance we've given. We should address not just behaviors or actions, but especially in discipline, we should address the root of what they are doing, which goes or is getting to the heart. Parents, as we consider this heart in verse 1, this keeping from the heart, we should pray for our children's hearts, that God would change their hearts to obey his word. We're not just looking for actions or behaviors, but we're looking for heart change. That's what the father is commanding his son here. And so we see how our parents' counsel and teaching is to go with us into the rest of our life as we consider verse 1, and we see the results as we come to verse 2. The results of such counsel and teaching, if you look with me at verse 2. Verse 2 says, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So the father is calling his son not to forget. He's calling his son to live out these things. And then he says, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. So here we see how parental instruction can keep from life-threatening dangers. It's beneficial and it's good for children's welfare, is what verse 2 brings out. So parents, fathers, mothers, by taking an authoritative, proactive role in the guidance and the direction of your child's life, you are setting them up for a life of less problems. You are helping keep them from sin, from hardship that may come if it weren't for your instruction. Children, realize what your parents' instructions can result in. Realize that if they are teaching you the word of God, if they are calling you to follow what God has commanded of you, this will help you for the rest of your life. This will save you from heartaches. It will save you from the consequences of sin. It will bring you to living for the Lord. It will lead you to live as he desires for you. So we see from this first point, from this key verse, the counsels of a father and a mother are to be long-lasting. They are to be carried on. They are to be taken, ultimately followed in a child's life, and they bring long-lasting results, as Proverbs 3, 1, and 2 open with. These key verses, they really set the tone for the rest of the passage, as we're going to find, if you just kind of scan over verses 3 to 12, we're going to find specific counsels of a father to his son. The rest of our passage goes in couplets, so two verses at a time. 1 and 2 is the key verse. It sets kind of the agenda, sets the tone for the rest of the passage. We'll take 3 and 4, then 5 and 6, and so on and so forth as we find specific counsels that a father gives his son, that parents today should give to their children. We're going to find that they're quite general. The command that is given first is pretty general so that it can be applied to many, many different situations of a child's life. And then the result or the impact or the why should they follow this is given in verse 2 or in the second verse of each of these couplets. So we find in the rest of the passage five specific counsels that the father gives his son, five specific but general counsels that fathers here today, you should give your children, that parents should guide and instruct their children with and apply it to specific situations and stages of the life of your child that they're going through right now. So the first counsel that should be given is to be kind and committed in their relationships with others. So first, parents should instruct their children to be kind and committed in their relationships with others. If you look with me at our next two verses, Proverbs 3:3-4. They say, and the father says to his son, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So in verse 1, we get the command, we get the counsel, we get the teaching. And then in the second verse here, in verse 4, we get the result, we get the why. So parents, I'd ask you to consider as we come to verses 3 and 4, I'd ask you to consider, do you speak more about your children or your child being kind to others than others being kind to your children or to your child? Do you speak more about your children being kind to others than others being kind to your children? And second, do you call your children to follow through on a promise to keep a commitment to another? These are the things that we find in this first bit of counsel from the father to the son as he speaks of relationships, how his son treats others. If you look at verse 3, we get this phrase, steadfast love. The father calls his son to steadfast love, which speaks of your child being merciful, being kind in their relationships with others. This steadfast love is doing good rather than harm. It's doing nice things for others. It's saying things that make others feel good. Looking out for those in need, someone who needs a friend or seems to be struggling, is this treating them with steadfast love? And parents, you can do this from a very early age. Getting your child not to think about just themselves, not to think about only themselves. But may we take the specific situation of Sunday school. As they come here to church, as they learn about the scriptures, as they're in class with other students, encourage them as they go to Sunday school to sit with the person who doesn't have a friend to sit with. If there's someone new that day, to play with them, to think about others. A very simple way, but teaching them from early on to have this steadfast love, this kindness, this mercy. In verse 3, we also get the father calling his son to faithfulness. Faithfulness is commanded by the father, and it speaks of a child being trustworthy, firm, committed in their relationships with others. This faithfulness is being someone who can be relied upon, rather than someone that people have to stop counting on or asking for help because they've dropped the ball so many times. It's showing up when they say they will. It's this faithfulness. It's being ready to do what they said they would do. And parents, again, you can encourage such reliability in your children by having them keep their promises. If they say they're going to go to a friend's birthday party and something better comes up, have them go to the friend's birthday party. When they say they will serve in a particular way here at church, and then they don't feel like it, have them still serve. Here in verse 3, the father calls the son not to let these things leave him. This steadfast love, this faithfulness. Don't stop practicing them, as he says again, if you look with me at verse 3, the father says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Don't let them leave you. Keep them with you. Continue to practice them. And along with this, what people are to see in them or in our children, the father continues on and he says, if you look with me at verse 3 again, it says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. And then the father says, bind them around your neck. It's to be like adorning themselves with a necklace. People are to be able to see this steadfast love, this committedness, this loyalty in your children. And then verse 3 closes with the heart once again. kindness in our children, trustworthiness in our children are not to just be done in action. They're not to be done for a show or out of obligation, but it's meant to be. It's to be meant, as the Father says, if you look at the very end of verse 3, he says to him, write them on the tablet of your heart. And now we get the why. As I said, each of these sections will have a why. Two parts of these couplets, what is to be done, or the counsel given in the first verse, and then in the second we get the why, the explanation, the result of the child, of what the child is commanded to do. If you look with me at verse 3, and then it's ultimately verse 4 that we find this why. Father says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then the why is, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. The why is that they will have a good reputation. They will be acceptable both to others, to other people, and most importantly, to God. They will be looked upon favorably, it says in verse 4, and then the literal translation is that they will secondly find good understanding. Okay, it says good success, probably in your Bibles, in the ESV, it says good success, but it's ultimately good understanding is how this should be translated. And the thought there is that this son, if he has steadfast love, if he has this kindness, if he has this faithfulness, this trustworthiness, he's going to show that he's a man of understanding. He's a man of insight. He is wise and conducts himself wisely. And from this, he will gain a good reputation. Okay, as he is kind to others, as he's committed in his relationships, he will have a good reputation. People will look upon him approvingly, and most importantly, God will look upon him with favor as he lives as God desires, as he lives as God commands. So parents, with this, why we find the result. Okay, by spending the time, spending the effort, calling your child to steadfast love and faithfulness, kindness and trustworthiness, holding them to it, calling them to it again and again and again, praying for it for them. You are setting them up for how God calls them, and secondly, you are setting them up to get along with others. This could affect, as we think about living these things out in relationships, this could affect your child's family life one day, how they treat their spouse, how they treat their children, how they treat their in-laws. This could affect their church life, their work life, many of the relationships in their life that they will have with others. That's the first bit of counsel that this father passes on, gives to his son, teaches his son, be nice to others. Be someone that people can depend on. Second, turn now to the second bit of counsel, and we come to some beloved verses, verses that many of us know, probably have memorized, and the counsel is to depend on the Lord all throughout life. The second counsel is that parents should instruct their children to depend on the Lord all throughout life. So Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 are our next couplet. As the father counsels his son and says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. We certainly should be pointing our children to have the initial faith and trust in God for salvation. Even as I prayed for each of the children today, we as parents have the responsibility, we have really the honor to seek to lead our children to the Lord, to be saved by the Lord. It's ultimately him doing that work, but we could share the gospel with him, teach him the word of God. So we certainly should be pointing our children to have that initial faith and trust. But here, as we consider verses 5 and 6, I want to especially apply verses 5 and 6 to the minute by minute, moment by moment trust that your children should have in the Lord. As we all think about our own lives, trust is one of those things that we can so easily forget or think we're doing when really we're trusting ourselves. Or as verse 5 puts it in the second half, if you look there, it says, leaning on our own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. We so easily fall into leaning on our own understanding. So as you consider giving counsel, the counsel of verse 5 to your children need reminders that in difficult circumstances, difficult decisions, hard situations that they need to figure out how to handle. As we live out verse 5, parents, counsel your child to trust the Lord in everything. from what may seem like the smallest thing to the biggest thing. Help them make this a way of life in the countless decisions that they have and the many circumstances to rely upon the Lord in their lifetime. And notice the heart. Okay, it's addressed for a third time in our passage. A complete and full confidence in the Lord is what parents should be praying for, calling their children to, as verse 5 says again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This father says to his son, parents, help your children grow in their understanding and confidence in the Lord by learning about him, hearing of what he has done and is doing, as you read the scriptures as a family, as you have them read them on their own, as you prioritize the teaching and the preaching of the word of God, as you point them to God again and again and again, we foster and we cultivate this trust in the Lord with all their heart. As we think about living out verse 5, parents, may a common question you ask your child be, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? As your child is nervous for their test the next day, rather than only encouraging them to study more, take a deep breath, ask them, have you prayed about it? As your child is wrestling over what college they should go to, they just cannot make up their mind, ask them, have you prayed about it? As your child is facing a difficult teacher, as they talk through this with you, as you hear them out, hear how they're feeling, one of the things you should ask them is, have you prayed about it? And certainly I would say, parents, it is great if you model this. You model this trust for your child as they see you praying or as they bring a situation to you and you pray for them. That is great. That should be done. But point them to pray on their own. And as we think about such an application, don't think what I'm saying is a cop-out. Just pray. You don't know how to help them, so just tell them to pray about it. Trust God. That's not it at all as we think about this application. It would be good for you to give them further guidance. Listen as they share the details about a situation or how they're feeling. Help them process. But I'd submit to you what this verse is saying is that you should be getting your child to look to the one who can help them. Look to the one who they should depend upon. Look to the one who can help them above you, parents. It shows them that mom and dad don't have all the answers. It prepares them for the day that they move out, or maybe the day that you die, where they no longer will have you at their beck and call, but they will still have God. I'd submit to you that prayer is one of the greatest things that you can offer your child as you are having them go to God, look to him, seeking his help and his answers. So parents, encouraging your child to pray is not a cop-out, but it's living out verse 5, and it's one of the greatest things that you can offer your child as they grow up under your authority. Now we come to the why. We get this in verse 6 if you look there with me. The why. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So again, remember, beloved verse, but this is the father talking to his son. The father passing this off to his son, and he says, he, speaking of God, will make straight your paths. As parents, we like to have control of our children and their lives and their futures. And the reality is, we don't. God ultimately does, and here we find that placing them and pointing them to him is a great thing to do, as he is the one who will help them walk. He is the one that will help them walk in the right and the correct way as they go throughout life. And here it's not a promise, as we think about verse 6, that it will make straight their paths. It's not a promise for a trouble-free life that's being offered here for your children if they trust in the Lord, but he will keep them from making decisions that would bring problems into their lives. He will steer them away from obstacles and hurdles that would bog them down. It's good for us as parents, in light of verse 5 and 6, not only to call our children to trust and rely upon the Lord, but ask ourselves, have I entrusted my children to the Lord? Are we trusting and looking to the Lord when it comes to our children and their futures? Move now to the third piece of counsel that's given. Again, these are general words of teaching and instruction that can be applied to many, many different situations, and we especially find it here with this third one in verses 7 and 8. That's certainly the case, as the counsel is to be directed by the Lord in his word. So parents should instruct their children to be directed by the Lord in his word. If you look with me at the next couplet, Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Out of loving care, there can be a mentality to let a child decide how they're going to live. What they're going to do, how they're going to respond, parents can give their child a very long leash and really give them power to decide right and wrong for their lives. This is the complete opposite of what the Word of God teaches and even says here. This is the complete opposite of the counsel the Father gives his Son, as he says again, if you look with me at verse 7, "Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." Wisdom is not found in the Son, this child. The Son, his Son that the Father is speaking to, is called not to call the shots, but to fear the Lord. Parents are to call their children to follow the Lord, to have a reverent submission for the Lord, for God, is what this fear in verse 7 is. You're calling your child, you're teaching them to have a reverent submission, a respect and obedience to obey him and his word. It's the word of God, not your children, then that gets to name right and wrong. It's the word of God that we should be pointing our children to determine what they can and can't do. And this turns them away from evil, turns them away from sin. It turns them away from and brings them away from a sinful lifestyle. Again, in verse 7, it says, "Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." Parents, we can't let our children decide right from wrong, to call the shots in this way. We cannot be listening to them and let them live based off of how they are feeling, as they will not naturally go towards evil. They are born a sinner. They will be inclined to sin, to flee from the word of God, unless they're guided to it and by it. Fathers, in light of verse 7, as situations arise, search the scriptures for the answer and bring this answer to your child and instruct them in it. Parents, as tough circumstances arise and your child needs to decide how they're going to respond, how they're going to respond to someone, how they're going to respond in a situation, what they will do, bring them to the Bible. Don't ask them how they're feeling and let them decide off that, but bring them to the Bible to figure out what the most honoring to God decision would be. May your child leave your home someday with an awe and a submission to God and his will for their lives, not seeing themselves as the ultimate authority or listening to someone else, but in light of verse 7, may a fear of the Lord and his word be cultivated in our homes. Why? We get this in the result in verse 8. It says in verse 7, then into verse 8, "Be not wise in your own eyes," the Father says, "fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." If your child lives in the ways of the Lord, in his word, it will be like medicine. It will bring ease. It will bring relief to them in their lives. Sin, living for their own selfish desires, will only lead to issues. It may even take a toll on their bodies, as verse 8 speaks of. It may cause them mental distress. It will bring about the opposite of such healing and refreshment that a fear of the Lord will bring upon your child's life. The fourth counsel that parents should give their children is to give back to the Lord. Parents should instruct their children to give back to the Lord. If you look with me at our next two verses, the fourth counsel that the Father gives his Son is found in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, as he says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So parents do well to guide their children in how they're going to handle their money, to help them learn how to save it, help them learn how to use it wisely. And we find here it is the use of their money for the Lord that's talked about specifically. Here in verse 9, we find parents are to teach their children that all they have been given is from God. that the clothing they have, the food they eat, the money they earn, that they would not have if it wasn't for God. And the idea of first fruits, as verse 9 says again, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. This idea of first fruits goes back to Israel. It goes back to the Israelites, or goes to the Israelites as Solomon talks to them, and that they were to recognize that all of the crop, all of the food, all of the harvest that they are given or get is given by God. And so they would sacrifice a portion of it. And I'll read a portion of Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 and 2, and then 10 and 11 that make this clear. They say, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land, your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket. And you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. And today this can be especially applied to our tithes and our offerings. That parents, as we think about living out verse 9, parents are to teach their children from a young age this, both from their own example and by directing them to do the same. As a child receives money, either as a gift or from a job, to give a portion of it back to the Lord, thanking the Lord for what he's given to them, what they've earned, the income that he's given to them, and even to be used for the Lord's purposes in his church. This can be taught as parents give their children some money to place in the offering plate. This can be taught as they receive money for a birthday, and that the parents, they help them set aside some and brings them to the offering box in the back and has them place it within it. This can be taught as a parent gets, or as a teen gets a job and their parent helps them decide how much will be given for offering, how much they will save, how much can be spent. And the next verse gives the result. Okay, why is this to be done? As verse 10 says, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. And I'm actually not going to say a lot on this verse, as tonight our study in 2 Corinthians that we're going to be dealing with, the passage we're going to be dealing with in our evening service addresses very similar topics. But what I do want to say here is we shouldn't think and tell our kids here based off of these verses, maybe what they could seem to be saying. If they give back to the Lord, they'll become rich. Rather, as we balance this out with the rest of Scripture, it means that God will provide for them. He will give us what we need. We shouldn't think that giving in this way will lead to becoming poor or not being able to provide for our basic needs, but the Lord will provide for us so that we can give in such a way. And now we come to the last point of counsel. And that is for them to learn from and grow in the trials that they face. Parents should instruct their children to learn from and grow in the trials that they face. If you look with me at our last two verses, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 close out with the father counseling his son and saying, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. What's being talked about here with this discipline, with this reproof, are the hardships that your child will face in life. Okay, trials and difficulties and sufferings that they'll face, from little, no big deal things that just annoy them, or to life-altering situations and trials. Parents, your kids are going to face them. No matter how much we try to protect them, try to keep them from such things, if it's either not making a team or someone picking on them, or maybe as an injury that they face, these sufferings can easily make your child lash out against God, question God. But you're to be there to show them that God uses these things for their good. He uses them to make them into the image of his son, uses them to grow them closer to him, to grow them more in godly character. So as they're tempted to despise and be beaten down by these things, as verse 11 speaks of, help them see how the Lord uses these things uses these things to discipline them, not punish them. They believed in Jesus. He has already punished his son on the cross for their sins. But discipline is to train them. Help them resist sin and grow towards God. Parents, point them to the reason why the Lord uses these things and allows these things, as verse 12 says, that the Lord loves them. Just like a parent who disciplines their son or their child loves them. It's not loving for a parent to not discipline their child. They are setting their child up for failure in life if they don't. And so too, God disciplines his people. He uses suffering in our lives to grow us in Christlikeness because he loves us. So parents, as we think about verses 11 and 12, when suffering strikes your child first, help them remember that God is in control of it and is even intending on using it in their lives for his purposes. Second, help them consider what God might be wanting to teach them through this, how he might grow them through it. And third, have them pray. Have them pray that God would use this to make them more like Jesus. And so this morning, as we consider Proverbs 3, 1 through 12, as we consider this counsel of a father, this counsel or what the counsel should be from a parent and the impact that it can have on a lifetime for a child. Walk away today applying these things, applying these couplets, applying these general bits of counsel from the Word of God to the specific situations that arise in your child's life so that when it's nighttime, and you hear your daughter calling out, and you go up to her room, and she tells you that she's scared, you cuddle her up, staying with her for a few moments, and as you do so, you say to her, God will protect you, and you pray with her, and this moment ingrains in her as she gets older to trust in the Lord with all her heart, and pray to him when she's scared. When the day unexpectedly comes, early, and your son wants to have a girlfriend, you take the time to sit with him. You show him how to fear the Lord in this area of his life. You show him what the scriptures say concerning what it looks like to treat a girl in a godly manner, even what a godly marriage looks like. And in so doing, you save him from pursuing women who are not Christians. You save him from treating women wrongly. You save him from much sin in this area. And when your child hasn't been treated very nice at school by another student in their class, they come home, they're upset, and they have intentions on getting back, being mean to this person, and you overhear this, you sit down with them, encouraging your child to go to the Lord with this. And further, you call them to treat the one treating them badly with steadfast love, no matter how they treat them, setting your child up to respond in a biblical way when conflict strikes in the future, as they will face even more difficult people and mean people as they grow older and older. So fathers, we have so many opportunities to give biblical counsel, biblical teaching to our children, which can produce great blessings in our child's life. Let's take up such opportunities and counsel them from the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for such a text that, and many texts in the scriptures concerning how we should parent our children, fight back against some of the common thoughts of our world today, even some common thoughts within in the church today, within Christianity today. Lord, we thank you for the authority that you've given to fathers and mothers, to parents, to train their children, to discipline their children, to call them to obey you and your word. And Lord, I pray that you give great wisdom to our fathers today. Lord, as we have this day to honor our fathers, even to think about our fathers and how maybe they have instilled in us godly commandments, godly teaching, godly counsel. And I pray for the fathers that have children today that are still in their home, that you would give them great wisdom to teach them about you, to teach them what it looks like to follow you from your word. And Lord, I pray that our fathers today, that you would help them in many situations that arise in their children's life. I pray that they would call them to steadfast love and faithfulness. They would call them to trust in you, that they would call them to pray to you, that they would call them to fear you, that they would cultivate an awe and a submission to you in their home. Lord, that you would help our parents, help our fathers to teach their children about the money that they have, that it's ultimately been given by you. And Lord, even with the sufferings of our child, the things that maybe make our heart ache, I pray that, Lord, we'd be able to look beyond such emotions to point them to you, point them to how you might use this suffering in their life to make them more like Jesus. Lord, give our fathers wisdom as they seek to teach, instruct, and counsel their children. Lord, I pray that you be with our homes, be with our fathers, help them to lead in this way, empower them to do so. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.